Would you turn, please, with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. The book of Ephesians, chapter 3. We're going to read some verses here, beginning at verse number 12. In Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Our loving Father, as we have been privileged to be here in this place of worship, we come this morning to give thanksgiving that the grace of God has been abundant, great in our lives. And Lord, we know we are not worthy, and yet we have been allowed to sit under the Scripture, to be able to sing praises to thy name, to hear of what has been accomplished and what is yet to be done in the work of Christ. Therefore, Lord, we come now to ask that we would be settled, that we would be still in thy presence, and that the Spirit of God would take the word of the Lord and so write it upon our hearts and so empower us that we might walk in thy will, that we might love thee with greater love, and that, Lord, our service for the Master will not be barren and dry, but it will be that work blessed of the Spirit of God. Hear us now and encourage each one. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The word I want to leave with you this morning from Ephesians chapter 3 is really in the form of a benediction in verse number 20. For Paul says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We are now commencing our fall program of ministry. The long days and the heat of summer, well, they will soon be passed from us. And we need to lift our eyes by faith to look to the Lord and to seek Him for strength and for blessing to go forward in the work of the Lord. We know that getting back into a routine is not always easy, but we have to confess it is very necessary for us. For all of us function better under a routine of service and work. In our day-to-day things, that is true, but it is equally true in the Lord's work. We read from Psalm 100 this morning, and how David prayed that he would serve the Lord with gladness. And we can serve the Lord with gladness by encouraging one another that there is a cause that we are involved in. And it is a worthy cause. It is a worthwhile cause because it is the cause of Christ. It's a worthwhile cause because it has eternal implications to it. And the problem that we will fall into is that we get too localized, perhaps, or maybe too narrow in our observation and our engagement in the work that we're doing, and we forget to see that we're serving a living God, that we are in the work of the Lord for a greater cause. It's the big picture, as we sometimes talk about. And we will often fail to see the big picture when we are looking too closely at the little picture. We can't see the forest for the trees, as the saying goes. The Lord is worth all that we can give Him. And therefore, let us not be weary in well-doing, for the promise comes that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. My friends, I preach to myself as I preach and bring the word to you. And I want to encourage you, and I want you to encourage others around you as we press on and we go forward in the great cause of the Lord Jesus, because He alone is worthy. And as we magnify Him, and as we are with purpose serving Him, therefore the Lord will be honored and His kingdom will be advanced. How shall we go forward in this great work of Christ? My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, we can only go forward by the power of God, using the means that He has placed at our disposal, taking hold of God by prayer and supplication. This was the strength of Abraham. This was the strength of Moses and David. This was the strength of Paul and Peter and John. It has always been the chosen path of God to accomplish His work and to see His work built up and going on. And we're talking about personal and public and fervent heart praying. It looks beyond the circumstances, and my friend, does not rest upon our sight. It does not rest upon our circumstances, but it rests by faith upon the great and sovereign God who has given us promise after promise that we can bank on today. Yes, friend, the Lord knows the end from the beginning, and He is building His work, and we are part of that building, and we are part of that service. So as Paul brings the theological part, we could say, of Ephesians to a conclusion at the end of chapter 3, in verses 16 to 19, we have here a riveting example of Paul's prayer for these Christians. It shows the heart of the apostle. It shows that he desired for these believers to be richly blessed
And he also wanted them to closely examine and meditate upon the truth of the word of the Lord. And so in Paul's prayer, he was in essence praying for their development. He was praying for their growth in grace. But he was praying for their glorious completion in the work. That's what we pray and should pray for one another. That we will develop in the Lord, that we will grow in His grace, that we will come to a final and successful conclusion in His ministry. My friend, if you're here in the service today or listening online, and these comments and these words are somewhat foreign to you, they're strange to your mind, it may well be because you are not a Christian. You are not a born-again believer. And I say to you today that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do not put off until some more convenient season. Don't delay it, but come now and call upon the Lord where you are now. And say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Come and wash me and cleanse me in your precious blood so that I might be free and know the joy of salvation. Because, friend, when you pray that prayer, that will be the starting point for you to serve the Lord with gladness. That will be the very beginning. This prayer that we would pray and that Paul prayed for these Ephesians, it's to counteract to a large degree stagnation in a Christian's life. You have seen stagnant water. You have seen a swamp where the water does not flow in or flow out, and there's a green haze growing over the top of it. And that situation which is so vivid for us to see in our minds, that too often can be the way we as Christians become because we're not moving for the Lord. We're not growing in Him. And therefore, we have become somewhat stagnant. It's a danger, I think, more so for Christians who have been on the road with Christ for a long time. Is it possible to live in close proximity with someone and still be a stranger? Well, that's very, very real. We see it all around us in our community. There are sometimes neighbors that live across the street from us or a couple of doors down, and we may not know them at all or very well. Perhaps the advancing years in your Christian faith have taken a toll on you. Has the joy and the peace of Christ and of God and of communion with Him, has it ground to a halt in our lives? Then what do we say? What are we to do? How can we approach this new season of work if we're out of touch with God? Well, friend, we must get in touch with the Lord. We must get on track with Him. And we must come to see the power that God has placed before us, the power of prayer. And that any work that will be done for Him, that any work will be done that will last for eternity, it must be done through the power of prayer in the life of us as individual Christians. Oh, Paul prays for these dear people that they'll be filled with the fullness of God. Has that happened in our lives? Believer, do you know what that means? Do I know what that means? To be filled with the fullness of God? If you're saying, well, I don't know, maybe to some degree that has happened, but maybe to some degree it hasn't happened. If there's any uncertainty, any question, the thing for us to do is to stop and say, Lord, answer that prayer and that promise in this believer's life. Answer that prayer as you stop and pray, Lord, fill me with all the fullness of God to whatever degree you permit and allow. And let us never be overcome with pride of heart. When God does bless us in some way, means or some way or some extent in this way, and we think, well, maybe we're better than someone else. No, put that thought out of your mind. We need to come to say, I need the power of God for the honor and glory of Christ alone and not of self. So we come to the glorious summary of this instruction on prayer and the doctrinal section of Ephesians. And Paul applies it all, and with a great motivation to call on the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who has loved us with an everlasting love. And I want us to think on verse 20 today in our service. And the first thing that we have is this, that God is able to answer prayer. Now unto him that is able to do. Now unto him that is able to do. God is able to answer prayer. Well, you say, preacher, you could have come up with a more dynamic point. No, I couldn't have, actually. For it is the most dynamic. As a matter of fact, the word God is able, the word has to do with dynamite. It has to do with power. And the root meaning of it is just that, that he is powerful and more powerful and absolutely powerful to accomplish all that he has put his mind and his hand to do. And that means, friends, as we come, let us not be guilty of limiting the Lord. Let us not be guilty of measuring up God's ability by our own shallow and weak attempt or perception. No, unto him that is powerful to do, he is able and he is willing. What did God say in the Psalms? Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God has invited us here. He has shown us in this verse of Scripture that when you as a Christian are in the day of trouble, and if you're not in it now, you will be tomorrow or the next day, because God has promised that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, there will be a day of trouble. And when we're in that day of trouble, God is saying and inviting us, call upon me. Because God who invites us to call upon him is saying that because he is able to do. He is able to answer. We can be amazed at this truth that God is more delighted, more willing, and more happy to answer the prayers of his people than we are to ask of him. The Lord is able. He has instructed men from the beginning of time to call upon him. This is not a new thing. God has desired to commune with his people from the very beginning. And he desires at this day in 2018 to commune with you as a Christian. It is his desire. It is the purpose and the will and the heart of God to meet with you, Christian. But how often is it our case that we are too busy for God? We're too filled with our doubts that God is either able or willing to answer our prayers. And therefore, we become quite comfortable in our circumstances. We become quite content in what we have or our ability to get what we have, and we think we've done it on our own. It's an awful temptation, believer. We go by a day and we don't come with absolute dependence upon the living God for every single thing that we have. God is willing, and he wants to hear your prayer. And as we come to begin again the work of God, let us renew our commitment with Him. Let us renew our intention, our desire, our zeal, and pray, Lord, come and help us, for we want to know Your mind. We want to come and depend upon You. Sometimes we are tempted to think, well, if God is sovereign, and we believe in the sovereignty of God, if God is sovereign in planning all things and knowing what's going to happen tomorrow and in 10 years from now, why should we pray? What's the point of it? Are we just going through some kind of charade? Are we playing a game here? Oh, friend, when we come to the point of questions like that or not knowing, we need to be very careful. Careful because, quite frankly, we do not understand the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man when it comes to prayer. We just don't get it. So therefore, we need to pray, Lord, help me to get it. Help me to understand what this means. Because, yes, a sovereign God whose eternal decree and purpose is known to Him and Him alone, and we in our finite, basic human understanding are so limited. I must then come by faith to believe the commandments of the Word of God and obey them. For the Lord has said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. We are to seek Him and to call upon Him. But the Lord, He commands us to pray so that we will see, my dear friends, our great need of Him, of our absolute dependence upon the living God, and that the more we as Christians commit our way unto Him, the more we commit our work and the service that we want to do for the Lord into His hand, the more we will come then to get a glimpse, an understanding that God is at work. And He is at work in us and at work through us. And we can be very thankful to that and not doubting. Yes, He is our sovereign God. But how great confidence can be obtained for the believer when we come in our private intercession and the prayers are answered openly and obviously. And we say, yes, Lord, You have known my way. And You have led me to pray a certain prayer. And You have given me grace and faith to pray such a prayer. And I have seen the answers come from outside. Outside my own situation. Not something that I did to manipulate it. But God stepped in. And the Lord has answered prayer. You know why? Because our sovereign God is able. He is well able and more than willing. And when a people realize that God is more willing to give than we are to ask, why, it encourages us to pray on, but it will also encourage the believer beside you to pray on. It will also encourage others who might be wavering just a little to come through and get serious with God. Ye shall seek me and find me, the Lord said. And ye shall search for me with all your heart. What a promise that is. Friends, it is God's purpose to answer our prayers. And so His work will go forward and we will be strengthened and built up in our faith. And then let us not put this into a secondary or a third place in our lives, but to be renewed before Him. Our Lord and Savior, does He not give us the greatest example of a man of prayer? For we could say, really, that Jesus did not need to pray. He knew the mind of His Father. But prayer for Him was both communion, intercession, and it was asking, because He submitted Himself to His own Father. And as the Lord Jesus Christ prayed, so you and I are able to come boldly unto the throne of grace. It's because, my dear friend, He went to the cross. He went to the place of suffering and shame to make atonement, to present His merit before His Father, so that you and I can have boldness and free and full access to Him in prayer. Because He lives, we live also. And because He is alive today, He is interceding for me at the right hand of His own glorious Father. And that gives us boldness. It gives us confidence. Oh, my dear friends, it gives us great assurance and certainty that when we pray, we are doing the will of God. And when we pray, we are coming to a God who is able to answer our prayer. Would you please notice in the second place, the Lord joyfully gives more than we ask. The Lord joyfully gives more than we ask. Back to verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You will notice there are no commas in that phrase. Exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. My dear friends, God is not stingy. He is not someone who grudgingly answers prayer and gives to the needs of His people. Paul, it seems here, runs out of words to express both the willingness and the ability of God to provide beyond the needs of His children and His church. We should be ashamed by our miserable asking and sometimes our very limited asking. You know why that is, friend? We don't want to ask something that's too big or too great because we're afraid it'll just not be answered anyway. And then we'll have greater doubts about God's ability to answer our prayers. That's what we think. And I think that's so often what limits our praying. But we come to understand the truth of the Word of God that God is telling us here. I am more willing, more ready, and more joyful to give to you beyond what you are presently asking or thinking. Oh, my dear friend, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Exceeding, what does it mean? It means beyond. It means over and above. The same word is translated above so that Paul is saying actually this: God is able to do above and beyond what you are asking presently and thinking. Sometimes people think this verse is a little bit dreamy, a little bit one of those things out there that people that, well, if only I could imagine the greatest thing that God could possibly do, and maybe I'll ask that, or God's going to do that. That's not what this means. Because quite clearly, it is not what we can ask or think. It is what we do ask or think. It is what we are presently praying for. And what is a Christian to pray for? We are to pray in the will of God. We are to pray over the Scriptures and the promises of His Word. We are to pray for the glory of Christ Jesus. We are to pray for the extension of His kingdom. We must pray in the will of the Lord. And in so doing, God is saying, when you pray according to the glory of Christ and the exaltation of my Son, I'll do beyond that. Far beyond it. And God is going to, He has done, He is doing, and He is going to do that. Friend, when we stand before the Lord at the end, And when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes back to this earth again, and His throne and His kingdom has been completely established and set up, and all enemies are put beneath Him, and the devil is cast off into the lake of fire, and all enemies destroyed, maybe it's only then that you and I will first see a grasp of the fullness of this promise for the glory of His Son. The exaltation of His only begotten Son that loved us and died for us. Oh, my friend, the Lord is happy to give to His children. And if you're ever tempted to think that God is withholding something from you and that He's not coming through, and you wonder, why is the Lord not answering this prayer? Why is He not coming through for me? Is this promise weak? Is it faltery? Is it empty? Does it mean something else? Oh, my dear friend, let us stop. And let us come back and humble ourselves before God and pray that He will correct our thinking, that the Lord will help us to see clearly as we are to see. For friend, He spared not His only begotten Son for you. He sent Him to the cross, and He went all the way to the place of suffering and of shame. And He that spared not His own Son, how shall He not also freely with Him give us all things? Think of the cross, and we think long and hard about what Christ did and how much the Father gave when He gave His Son. And when we glimpse at that, and when we see something more of the sacrifice of the Father and the sacrifice of the Son and of the Spirit, then we will see that God joyfully and willingly gives to His people all things richly to enjoy. Yes, our God is able to give, and He joyfully gives more than we ask. And then thirdly, notice please, the power by which God works. It says, according to the power that works in us. The Lord has purpose to work through His Spirit. Do you really have any conception of what this means? Do I really understand the infinite, the eternal God who created all things out of nothing, who stretched out the heavens, placing billions and billions of stars in their places, and then He made man for His own glory? This God is our God, and it's by His power working in us that we are to live and to witness. It is His power in us that enables us to serve Him and to serve Him with gladness and joy. The Holy Spirit is working in us today, and I love that little Sunday school chorus. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the Comforter abides with me. And the power that God has equipped us with is the power that He has made available through all the merit of Christ and the praise that is due to Him. My friend, as we conclude our message today, look at verse 21 of Ephesians 3. It says, "Unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end." And once more, it seems the apostle has run out of vocabulary. He has come to the end of words to express the fullness of his heart, to express the gratitude that he has and the desire to honor the Lord. and he realizes that all that has been done in history and all that is being done now and all, friend, that will be done in this church or in the ministries that honor him, it is all for the glory of his Son. Throughout all ages, the world as it's coming to an end, and when it is all finally concluded, multiply everything that is deserving of honor, and it will all be upon our Lord Jesus, and ultimately, as Christ deflects that to his Father. And you and I, my dear friend, are privileged to be involved in this work today. How will we do the fall program of ministry? How will we get engaged? How will we serve? My friend, it can only be by the power of prayer and the Spirit of God working through us. Therefore, let us commit ourselves to him and pray that he will revive our hearts. He will revive us in prayer. The Lord bless his word to us. We're going to conclude our service now by singing a hymn. Number 153, hymn 153. You will see immediately the combination of the themes together of what we have been talking about this morning, and also as we prepare ourselves for the table of the Lord. If you're not able to stay for communion today, then please feel free to leave after we sing the first verse. Standing to sing, 153. Number 667, please. You are using our hymnal. It will not be on the screen today.